Good evening to everyone. Happy to see you tonight, and these Wednesday night meetings in the middle of the week are a good thing for us. It's good to be together and to be encouraged by one another's presence. I want to talk tonight about our country. And it's not a democratic republic. It's a kingdom. And I want to talk about the kingdom to which we belong. In the beginning of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist began preaching a message that was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And shortly after that, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry, and Jesus is preaching and teaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Mark chapter 4 and verse 43, Jesus says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent, to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus taught about the nature of the kingdom. He taught about it in many ways. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about the nature of the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He opens up with that very comment. And many thoughts about the kingdom that were absolutely upside down from the way that people would think about a kingdom and the way that things go in this world. The kingdom of heaven is very different. Very different. And so you get these almost paradoxical kinds of images about what the kingdom is all about. The people of the kingdom, the citizens of the kingdom, would behave in such a way that is so different than citizens of other kingdoms and other nations. Just upside down. Jesus was preaching something very different. But what were the Jews looking for in his day? The Jews were looking for a physical kingdom, were they not? Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, oh, see here, or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. What a strange thing that is. An invisible kingdom? Something we can't see? That's exactly it. This is a kingdom that cannot be seen, but a kingdom that is very real indeed. Jesus would say in John chapter 18, when he stood before Pilate on trial, and Pilate, he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" The king? The king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Oh, so yes, he was a king, but his kingdom was not from here and not from this world. So Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus was preaching about a kingdom, but it was a kingdom not of this world. When Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he do? He spent 40 days with his disciples teaching and preaching about the kingdom. But what kingdom? An earthly kingdom? No. About the heavenly kingdom. In Acts chapter 8, it says of Philip as he was preaching, Philip was preaching the gospel, and when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. You see, there's something about this kingdom that when you teach about it and you talk about it and you show people about the kingdom, that they respond. That there's something that it calls them to do, that it's calling them to become a part of that kingdom. And here they did. And they responded and they were baptized. You see, the message that we preach today is about this kingdom of God. Look at what Paul was doing and how it speaks of him in Acts chapter 19. What was the Apostle Paul doing through his life? In chapter 19 and verse 8, it says, "And he went into the synagogue and he spoke boldly for 3 months. And he was reasoning and he was persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God." This is what Paul was doing, was he was teaching people about this kingdom that can't be seen or touched, but a kingdom that is within us. In the end of the book of Acts, in chapter 28, in verse 23, it says, "So when they had appointed him a day," see, Paul's in prison, "so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved." Look down at the verse 28-29. The Jews had departed from him. A great dispute among themselves is about the things he was talking about. In verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's writings, the book of Colossians, if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Read along with me. We're going to read verses 9 through 18. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him, see, we're talking about the King of this kingdom, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You see, as a Christian, we're members of a body which belongs to Christ, the King. Turn with me just probably a page back. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Because we have this King. We have this King that is able to subdue everything to Himself. An all-powerful King. You see, as Christians, we have a citizenship in this kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning in verse 9. 9. Read along carefully with me. We're going to read from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Do you see what kind of a kingdom we belong to? What kind of a nation we belong to? If we're children of God, Christ is our king, and I belong to a kingdom. And I'm now a pilgrim and a sojourner in this land, in this world that is not my home. I'm just passing through. My hope is laid up somewhere beyond. Jesus was teaching and preaching and showing us this kingdom, one not of this world. When he was establishing this kingdom, the Jews made a mistake of looking for someone who would establish some kind of physical kingdom where all things would work out in such a way that their physical circumstances would be better, that politically their circumstances would be better, and that things would go their way, and that things would be returned and restored back to the time before they were under Roman rule, that they could feel like their own nation again, where they were free to do as they were wished, not being directed and governed and ruled over by this Roman government. But one of the primary messages that Jesus was teaching as he was teaching about this kingdom was that their minds were set too much on the things of this earth, and they were not focusing on what he was establishing. Jesus was establishing a heavenly kingdom, and he wanted us to look at things that were not seen. He wanted us to understand that the kingdom of heaven would be within us, and that he would be ruling as king, a good king. Do we make that same mistake? And do we forget sometimes that we're citizens and members of a kingdom that doesn't belong to this world? I do. We're citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a king who is the king of all kings. You see? We have a shepherd who is good, who knows his sheep. We have an overseer of our souls. What have we to worry about? If you're not part of the kingdom, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we encourage you, be a part of the kingdom. Be a part of the holy nation, a holy nation that endures forever. We encourage you to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit your life to him. Live for him. Repent and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and live for him and surrender your will to him. We beg you to do so as we stand and sing.